ever watched the sport that's on TV right now?
No.
It's called handball.
Handball.
Team handball.
Yes.
And it's fantastic. I have no idea what goes on, but every 4 years I love watching it. It's just crazy. It's like a gym floor for basketball with no basket.
Right.
It's got a small goal like you would use for kids in a soccer game. And it's got then a like four or five players on the court, and they run up to the shooting line with a half deflated volleyball, jump in the air. And when the men play, this is a women's game that's on right now. When the men play, they can jump from the jump line, and they land about 6-7 feet closer to the goal and throw the ball somewhere around 50 miles an hour from close range. It's fantastic.
It looks like
I still don't have any idea what's happening, though.
Looks like blade ball, ladies and gentlemen.
What is blade ball? I don't
blade
know.
Ball. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I created
is that a Buffalo game?
No, I created a futuristic sport. Actually offered this to Jerry Colangelo. I kid you not.
What? I've never heard of this.
This is back in the late 80s.
15 years, I've never heard
of this. I'm telling you right now, Douglas, blade ball, a futuristic sport that is played on rollerblades, ladies and gentlemen, and it's played with a ball within a ball, and you try to actually hit a ball that is moving. It's a moving target with a ball within a ball. Think about how you've got to operate that in order to – it looks exactly –
like is somebody moving the other ball? That you're trying to throw
at? No, it's a ball within a ball. Stop and think about that. Two balls. So you've got a hollow ball and a ball inside of that. And in order to throw that accurately, what do you got to do? You got to get the centrifugal force going on that thing, right? It's actually a skill of how to handle this thing. And plus what these kids are doing on rollerblades, man, I was like, this is exactly what blade ball basically looks like, except you'd be wearing rollerblades and the sides are obviously like skateboards.
I agree with Jerry and not.
Oh, Jerry was like, hey, Wolf, go ahead and tell me how much this is going to cost. And I was like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, no, and never did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jerry, how you doing, by the way? How's that going?
He's in China right now. He's a little busy.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Schefter, what's going on right now?
What up, Jerry?
The drills start tomorrow. The meetings start today. I don't believe they'll show up there until that agreement is finalized and he signs off on it. Yeah, I don't think he's just going to show up there. Said all along that I didn't think that he would be back at camp in the organization with that current deal that he had with the 3 years remaining on it in possession. So, again, assuming they can get that finalized, yes, he'll be there.
Well, Adam Schefter reporting early this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zub. And here's what happened. And, you know, we have to rip the Phoenix media because I don't think we're devoted enough. So I'm ripping myself, too.
Yeah, okay.
But there is film of Green Bay Airport. The small airport at Green Bay,
yes,
of a private plane landing, and you can see Aaron Rodgers in the window. And so that shows you we're not doing enough as media, because if this is the exact same thing that happened with the Arizona Cardinals, where is Paul? Is Craig Grillo going to be there? Kevin Zimmerman, are you
what's
going?
Up, Greg?
Are we going to have the people there to cover a Cardinal late appearance at the airport? But they were there for Aaron Rodgers, and then ESPN's reporting this morning the deal is not done, but he is at training camp.
This is drama. That's what it is. And drama sucks, Buttermilk. Can you imagine trying to negotiate this nonsense if you're Matt LaFleur, Douglas? Can you imagine that? The Packers-Rodgers saga, it's...
If I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm staying out of this thing totally.
It's so anti-football. It is to me. Never forget this, Douglas. In the game, I know football players play, front office people say, and football franchises pay. That's the agreement. Players play, front office personnel say, and owners pay. That should be the agreement right there. This new quarterback club that wants say has really thrown multiple clubs into chaos.
Well, should he
and
get...
it's not going away.
Should he get less say because it appears he's reported in a man bun?
No way. He doesn't have a man bun.
It looks like...
Did you see him in a man bun?
What I saw was the hair pulled back only up top and a small ponytail sticking out of the back.
Well, okay,
but it's kind of like a sprouty. It's kind of like the beginning of a man bun.
No, if it's a ponytail, have at it. Let it.
No, but it's not the normal ponytail because he's still got plenty of hair coming out the back. It just comes out the top of the back.
Listen, basically.
It's like a little sprouty man bun.
My young Krug brothers, you want to go Samson? That's great. I got no problem with you going Samson. There's no problem with that. You want to grow your hair long? You want to go Conan the Barbarian? You know what? Have at it, man. I got no problem with that. Until you put it in a bun on top of your head like your Aunt Mabel. Please.
This is Lewis Riddick.
Grow the ponytail.
This is Lewis Riddick yesterday, the ESPN NFL insider, and it looks like the way the deal is going to be structured is it's more of a signing bonus, so he gets more of his money right now, but they can spread the cap hit over 2 years.
Yeah.
But he probably won't be here next year.
I think it's the best that they could possibly do right now as far as getting what they need right now on the team side, while at the same time basically still holding the cards in their favor and going forward in 2022. For Aaron, hopefully after this 1 year, if again things remain kind of the same in his mind as far as I still think it's best for me to move on based off of all the things that I've alluded to as far as the relationships not being what I want. I still think it's best for me to move on. I'm sure he's banking on the fact that they will honor that if that, in fact, still is the case come January or February of 2022.
I just, you know what, honestly, this bothers me. It really does. It's just... this new quarterback club that's going on right now and the fact that they want, say, personnel, say, if I were a general manager, I would consult my franchise quarterback on personnel moves. I would consult him on big personnel moves, obviously, right? I would do that. I'd get his opinion. But he's not going to be the one making the decision, and I would make that very clear to him. I'd make it very clear to him, my franchise quarterback, I value your opinion. It doesn't mean I'm always going to agree with you and go with your opinion, but I value it. I understand why you would approach your franchise quarterback and ask his opinion on certain things. But the franchise quarterback should not expect that some general manager is just going to listen to everything he's got to say. This is the thing that really bothers me about this, too. Aaron Rodgers, I've always loved Aaron Rodgers, been a huge supporter of Aaron Rodgers and his talent, and thought he went about his business in a pretty good way, but it's gotten a little sideways on Aaron Rodgers over the last 3-4 seasons. It has. I don't know if his head continues to grow and expand. I don't know. But, man, this guy, Brian Gutekunst, this guy has been in the organization since 1998. The guy was a scout for 13 years within the organization. He was the director of college scouting for 4 years in the organization, director of player personnel for 2 years in the organization, and has been the general manager since 2018. And the Green Bay Packers haven't exactly sucked buttermilk. So what happened between Aaron Rodgers and this guy that has been a company man for a long time and been part of all the winning that's gone on in Green Bay?
Well, you say all that and you ask what happened. Well, I mean, what happens if the bald boss man someday really starts taking an eye to Zoe and starts setting him up?
What do you mean? When that day's already happened.
Okay, that's true. So I say that when you ask what happened, well, he drafted your replacement and he didn't make the team better, according to the quarterback. That's what happened. I'm not saying you should have a right. The thing that bothers me about it is where this really, really started, I think, in the eyes of quarterback demands, is once all the quarterbacks saw Tom Brady do what he did. When Tom Brady left and the Patriots went in the tank and Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl, all of the other guys are saying, wait a minute. Look at me. And that bothers me. You know why? After Tom Brady, you know who's second in Super Bowl wins as an active quarterback? It drops down to Ben Roethlisberger with 2.
Big Ben.
And everybody else either has 1 or 0.
Speaking of drama.
I don't understand why so many of them say, well, Tom did it, I should do it. Tom's got 7. You ain't got 7.
He's tough.
He won 6 and then pulled it.
but there will be drama.
Coming up next, veterans report to training camp today for the Arizona Cardinals. And we've got some questions. You send us your questions, we'll give you ours. Cardinals camp questions. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Relax. We're going to be okay.
Hi, this is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah. Just setting y'all up for today. You're only good as your last session.
Oh, feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in.
Baby. Ready for this year. I think we will be a lot better.
Two of our offseason goals are becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room.
Here we go! Baby.
We did some good things last year and made some big strides, and I anticipate us doing even more this season.
Baby. Let's go!
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
First day of training camp 2021. Good
here
morning.
Go.
It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who wants some?
We are live in the Auction Community Studios. Who are you calling out? Are you calling out a specific team, a player, the defense?
Cowboy, have you ever been punched in the face where your nose was bleeding? I know you have. You had to be punched in the face. I mean, at some point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truer words, baby, right there. You know what? I played with
that was yesterday, and it still shocks me that you had to think about whether or not you've been punched. That seems like a question people would know quickly.
Exactly, right. Have you ever been punched in the face? Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a no-fighting policy. You want to play the Cardinals?
Okay, settle down, B.A. Settle down right now.
He's not settled.
It's a good thing Derek Kennard didn't play for you, B.A., because I guarantee you that was going to be a fight. And DK was going to whip somebody. Oh, my goodness. Not Devin Kennard, Basinonians, the edge player, of course, for the Cardinals. But I'm talking about Derek Kennard. Derek Kennard, man, was a bad, bad man. This is a guy that the first day of training camp, and he did this in games as well, he'd walk up there and tell the guy how badly he was going to whip him before he whipped him. He's one of my favorite teammates because the very first play of every game I've ever played with him, I saw him actually go to the line of scrimmage and tell the guy what he was going to do to him, the exact play that was going to happen and what he was going to do to him. And he did it. He was a brutal, brutal human being.
What's about
that
to happen?
Loving off the field.
What's about to happen is kind of strange for both Wolf and me. We have no idea what's about to happen.
Okay.
Here's what happened earlier this morning. Maloney asked us, as the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, for our biggest Cardinals camp questions, what we consider to be the big questions for 2021. And she looked over our questions without us knowing what the other guy wrote. And now she's going to ask what she thinks are the biggest ones.
So we'll start off with, will Kyler Murray take another step forward in his quest to become a true franchise quarterback?
Man, you know what? That is the big question. That's the number one question that I have right now. Will he become a true franchise quarterback? He needs to be a better leader. I think he's got a great chance of accomplishing that because he's already identified the fact that he needs to be a better leader. That, and he needs to read defenses better. In the last 2 years, he's gotten better in both of those years. I hope that he continues to assimilate and absorb the pro game in year three.
I'm guessing here. I'm going to say yes, he will, but I admit I'm only about 55-45 on this one. I think to his betterment early and to his detriment now, this young man has been raised to basically ignore everybody. Nobody has your best interest in mind. We, as Team Murray, are going to be the best for you to get you to where you want to go. And he's followed that mantra highly successfully. But at some point, he's got to realize it's no longer all about him. It's now officially about what are you going to do to make everybody else around you better, and how are you going to lead them to places where they may not know they can go. That is true leadership. And I'm going to say, yes, he'll get better at that. But I admit, I'm not sure.
Will this offense become more physical?
Oh, boy.
No.
That is
no.
No, why do you say that, Douglas?
I just don't believe the Tiger changes his stripes. I could be dead wrong because Rodney Hudson might force a change into this thing, and I like that.
That's what Dan Orlovsky said.
Now, the Rodney Hudson move is big because this football team
even though Cliff Kingsbury loves to play spread up football, when they want to be nasty, they want to be nasty. Yeah. And Rodney Hudson will allow them to play a physical brand in the run game when it's necessary.
Yeah, you know, that is one of my big questions as well, and it's not going to surprise anybody because I know, you know at least, that I love a mouth guard. So because of that, to me, that's the number one thing I want to see more than anything else. Kyler Murray is the number one question, but for me personally, I want to find out if this mantra of being a more physical team in the offseason by Steve Keim, if it actually is applied during training camp.
Is this a playoff team?
Oh, I feel like a jerk, but no.
Oh, no. I believed last year they were a playoff.
I did too.
And there's a little bit of a shotgun factor here
that I'm a little nervous about getting my head blasted off after what I saw last year and them fall apart at the end. But I just feel like the division got tougher. Aaron Rodgers is back. There's a small chance Deshaun Watson might be in the conference at some point. Dak Prescott is healthy. Don't you get the feeling there are fewer spots and a team that fell apart last year is going to have a harder time?
Yeah, but hopefully they're not going to fall apart like they did last year, and this is a more talented team this year. I think this is a more talented roster than it was last year, so yes, they are a playoff team.
Will DeAndre Hopkins practice this year?
No.
No, he won't. But why not? Come on. You're now the alpha dog of the receiver room with no Fitz. As if we don't have Fitz. And therefore, you've got to be the leader in practice. Meh.
Stop it.
Can J.J. Watt play 16 games?
Ooh, boy, that is going to be, 17 games.
Good point,
Maloney. Well done right there, Maloney. It's still shocking
every time
you hear it.
Every time I see somebody make a prediction, I think they're going to be 9-8 this year.
What?
What do you mean 9-8?
7-9. It's not 9-8.
And you're going to play away games? 9 away games more than you have home games?
It gets me every time.
What are you doing?
As soon as I see somebody's prediction that says 9-8, I just kind of look at it and say, what do you mean 9-8? How could you? Oh, yeah, I guess you can.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, nicks and cuts and butts, as my old coach used to say, that's going to happen. It's going to happen from time to time. And, yeah, I doubt he plays all 17 games, especially when you're talking about a guy that's going to be at the point of attack as much as he is.
I think the answer is no, because it's going to be hard for everybody to play 17 games. But at least he played last year, which gives you hope.
Will there be a 2019 draft pick in the Cardinals receiver room this year?
No!
Oh!
Wow!
Boy, that's a great question.
That is a great question. Is Larry coming back?
Well, he wasn't drafted in 2019.
But is Larry coming back?
That's a good point.
I'm going to say yes. I think Keyshawn Johnson will at least make the team. He might not be active on game day, but I think he'll be in the receiver room. But that's a fantastic question. Boy, is that an indictment on Steve Keim if the answer is no, though. You're still in deep thought?
Yeah. I thought I answered.
Oh, what was
I?
What would you say?
Well, I said Larry Fitzgerald. If Larry Fitzgerald's going to be in there, yeah, I doubt there will be a receiver from 2019.
Well, then let's talk about that.
If he's not there, heck yeah, Andy Isabella will make the team.
Really?
Yeah.
With Rondale Moore?
Oh, yeah.
Coming up next, let's answer the question that Wolf just brought up. What is the future of Larry Fitzgerald? Coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Today is the first day of Cardinals training camp. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf in the Auction Community Studios. And this is July 9th when we were still talking Suns NBA Finals.
Are you planning on returning for an 18th season with the Cardinals?
Well, I haven't decided on anything, Rachel. I'm just sitting here playing golf and having a good time and enjoying the camaraderie with the guys, honestly. You know, training camp starts in a few weeks, and, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be another great season for the NFL, and there's a lot of wonderful stars out here, Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Peterson and Adam Thielen, a lot of great players out here, and be able to spend time with them, you know, it really makes you feel at home.
What do you think of that, Doug Lace?
I don't know how to phrase it without it sounding bad, and I don't mean it for how we all take this, but
for the first time, I think it's money.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly,
And I don't mind that, because what do you want to argue here? Should the Arizona Cardinals pay the man what he's worth to the franchise and the fans? Or should the Arizona Cardinals pay the man for production that they expect in a very crowded wide receiver room? I mean, it's a fair question. If you're Larry Fitzgerald, why should you come back for something less than what you mean to the franchise, what the time commitment is, and what it takes out of your body to play? What's it worth it to you? He has every right to say, you know what, it's not worth it to me to go play football if I don't make X. But if you're Steve Keim, do you really pay X to Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
When, I don't know what happened last year, but there were a lot of third downs I would have got the ball to him, and they didn't.
Sure.
There were a lot of goal line situations I would have found a way to get the ball to him, and they didn't. So is it a Cliff problem? Is it a Kyler problem? Am I lying to myself and Larry wasn't open? I don't know what to say, but it doesn't seem like to that offense he's worth what he is to the rest of us.
When I listen to that cut of Larry Fitzgerald right there, I think that my opinion has been right this whole time. The opinion that Larry is waiting for something, and that something is a bag of money, an X amount of money that he would say to himself, you know what, I'd be willing to go out and play for that. I'd be willing to go out there and do that. I don't know if it's going to be $11 million like he played the last three seasons at $11 million right there. I don't know if it was going to be that, but he was waiting for something. Some team, whether it was the Arizona Cardinals or, frankly, maybe even somebody else that would hit that number. Larry said to himself, maybe, this is just my belief, Larry may have said to himself, you know what, hey, listen, I'll play for that amount of money. And if somebody hits that amount of money, somebody that I am interested in playing for, I'll play my 18th season. And if they don't hit it, I'm not going to do it. Maybe he's waiting this whole time and has been waiting this whole time for somebody to hit that number, period.
I do feel safe, though, that I don't think he's waiting for that number from someone else. I think we all knew it. But I have believed, look out for the Bucs until they brought back everybody. Once they brought back every starter from last year's team, okay, maybe we're safe. But so then the next question comes, what happens in the middle of training camp? What happens at the end of training camp? What happens three games into the season? If Larry Fitzgerald was done, he would have announced his retirement by now. But if a Larry Fitzgerald was 100% in, irrelevant of price, he would have already signed something by now. If it was about, I want that one more shot at a ring, with the money that he's got, I think he plays for $4 million, $5 million. If it was all about just one more shot. And I'm not judging him at all. He has, I mean, more power to you when you sit there and say, do you know how hard it is to play football? This is what I want.
If you are right in what you're saying right now, Doug Lease, you know what? He's not going to retire. He's going to wait. He's going to play into the season. This will go into the season. Maybe somebody will pick him up for a playoff run. This is going to be, I think.
Which might actually mean Minnesota's
right,
not dead, to go home if they're doing well.
If you're right, Doug Lease, I don't think he's going to make an announcement anytime soon. And I, the more I think about it, the more you may be right.
Last week, according to Jim Trotter, who's kind of a Larry Fitzgerald insider.
Well, I reached out to him yesterday and asked him, is there any new news? Has he made any decisions? And he told me no new news. He said he's still not under contract. And I asked, are you seeking to secure a new contract? And he said, I still haven't decided on that. So at this point, we don't know. What I do know is that the organization definitely would like to have him back if he wants to play. They like the energy that he brings to the franchise. They like his presence in the locker room. And here's the key part. They like his ability to make catches in crucial situations. Now, obviously, he's not the same guy he was a decade ago. But in crucial situations, they believe he comes up with plays that they need. So from that standpoint, if he decides he wants to play again, there is a spot for him. But as you know as well, Andrew, money talks in these situations. And Larry Fitzgerald is a true businessman.
As soon as Jim Trotter said that last week, that's really what changed my mind, is when he said money talks. I, in my opinion, Jim Trotter of NFL Network is not throwing crap at the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say something like that unless you've, and I don't want to say you've run it by Larry as if you're a pawn, you're a reporter. And so you would ask him kind of off the record, so are you saying kind of money talks, like you won't play for $10 million, but you'll play for $16 million? And Fitz goes, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And then that's what you do as a reporter. You say, this is what I think. But what you think is what you've already found out. I totally believe that Larry's looking at about $1 million a year. And or excuse me, not $1 million, oh, yeah, $1 million a game. So if we get to 5-6 weeks into the season, 7 weeks into the season, and you want to pay him $10 million for the last 10 games, okay.
I think that's interesting right there. That's Jim Trotter you put
yes.
right there. He's talking about he asked Larry if he's seeking a new contract, and Larry's answer was, I haven't decided that yet. So to me, when I hear that, and again, I'm not formulating this opinion and saying this is the way that it is, because nobody has told me a thing about this. But when I hear him say, are you seeking a new contract? And he says, I haven't decided. There's been an offer that obviously is made. Now is Larry engaging and seeking a new contract based on that offer? What amount of money? It makes me even more sure that this is about X amount of dollars. And if somebody hits X, he'll consider it. And if somebody doesn't, he's not. Interesting.
By the way, what do you think about Fitz? You can either text us on the FanDuel text line at 620-620, or if you want, you can send us a tweet at DuganWolf987, because I have no problem with him choosing his salary, choosing his price, and if nobody hits it, okay. But I can see some of you being frustrated. If you want to play, let's go. Get into camp today. And others of you saying, oh, man, if he plays with somebody else, that's horrible. That's ridiculous. You know, I kind of want to know what's the feeling of the room, if you don't mind. Football season is here, and we're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. Text CAMP to 62620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you'll hear from your favorite Arizona sports hosts, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets or autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 62620. Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Just wanted to give you a quick note because it just happened. The University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas, this is according to the SEC, so this isn't just like a report. Okay. The SEC is reporting that Oklahoma and Texas have submitted their formal request for invitational to be invited as a member of the SEC in 2025.
Oh, my goodness. If you can't beat them, join them.
The one small thing, if this applies to ASU in a big way or U of A, it's going to be even harder to get into a college football playoff if you ever dream of that. But also, does the Big 12 die? Does the Big 12 go after Cincinnati to kind of team up with West Virginia and try to go east and get a little bit more that way? Or is anybody interested in leaving? If you're ASU and U of A, is it a no-brainer we're never leaving the Pac-12? Or do you kind of like the idea of maybe asking to replace them? Because the Big 12 will basically give you the farm to stay alive right now.
Man, I'm telling you right now.
If you're ASU, yeah.
My alma mater, West, by God, Virginia.
They need somebody closer.
What are you going to do? Are you kidding me?
They need
now
to get into the ACC now.
Are done?
Yeah.
Yeah, no fooling, man. Hey, you know what? More on this as the show unfolds.
Not a lot of character being showed in college football right now. So we'll bring you some. Because character counts, and it's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. We don't keep a stat on this, but there's a chance Kelvin Beachum leads the league in appearances on character counts. He hosted a family affair at United Food Bank, in which he attended it in Mesa to help pack emergency kits for children, seniors, and people who are struggling in the Valley.
The reason ending hunger and providing solutions for food insecurity I mean, so important to me is because I was one of the ones that needed a place like this, a place to be able to have meals. I was a part of the WIC program, women, infants, and children, as a child. So I realized some of the issues and needs of the young people. I understand what it is to now be a professional athlete and be able to give back to some of the families that need some of these resources. So I'm a huge proponent of food banks, huge proponent of making sure that there are policies in place to make sure that young people, especially our children, have access to not only food, but also healthy food.
God, thank you for Kelvin Beachum.
You know what? If Kelvin Beachum ever runs for office, I'm voting for him.
What a dude. And he is the epitome of why we do Character Counts. Character Counts is brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're a proud partner of Character Counts, and they award a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student in our area. And it's time to get those nominations in as we start selecting students of the month to be our finalists for the potential $10,000 scholarship. But we can't choose anybody unless you tell us about them. If you know of any student in our area that exemplifies the same type of character as Kelvin Beachum, then please go to CharacterCountsAZ.com. Coming up next, how far are the Suns willing to go to bring CP3 back? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Here we go. We're all focused on day one training camp today, and at the end of the week, day one of hitting, there's now a five-day acclimation period, so we're really, really focused on the Arizona Cardinals. But as you can imagine, we've got to be able to pivot quick because there's a lot going on. We just told you in the previous beautiful part of the program, if you didn't hear it, it is official that the SEC has announced that Oklahoma and Texas submitted their formal requests to become members in 2025. The Oklahoma State president torched Oklahoma for not doing what's good for the state and just being a bargaining chip for Texas.
Wow.
But you can imagine they're scared to death of where they're going to go. So there's so much in college football. And then Gambo, a big report yesterday of just how well things are going with the Suns. Chris Paul on August 1st is supposed to be, has to make an announcement kind of like unofficially, meaning he doesn't have to have a presser or anything like that, but he's got to opt in to his contract for 1 year, $44 million, or opt out, become a free agent. But most signs are kind of saying, and Gambo's reporting that the Suns are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure they keep Chris Paul, and he also made it sound like Chris Paul wants to remain a Sun. It looks like this is, a good time to be a Suns fan, that things should continue for next year.
Okay, once again, a symbiotic relationship between Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns. That is good news right there for everybody involved. This is good, right, going forward, that you've got a willing participant in the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul. This tells me this deal is going to get done. And it's probably, you've been talking about it, the opt-out of Chris Paul, but an extension after that, it tells me that it's going to get done, and I don't think it's just going to be this one-year deal.
Here is Brian Windhorst, the NBA insider. He was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin a little bit earlier last week.
You have to understand with Chris Paul that he has a contract negotiation with the Suns. He has an opt-out clause, which it looks like he intends to use, and he's got $44 million on the table. If he opts out of that contract, I would be very surprised if he does not make at least $44 million. Maybe not all next year, but he is not going to do it to go play for a minimum contract somewhere. So when you dream up your scenarios of where Chris Paul is going to go, if it doesn't include him earning $40-plus million or mid to high $30 million for the next 2-3 years, I think you should retire those. And remember, any outside leverage that he gets, whether you want to dream up scenarios with the Lakers or the Knicks or the Heat or whoever, remember that that is leverage applied to the Suns, who now have to negotiate to keep the player who got them to the NBA Finals. So wherever Chris Paul ends up, and staying in Phoenix is probably the odds-on favorite, it's going to be for a lot of money and probably at least 3 years. So frame that as you think about where he goes.
Can I just tell you right now, would you not be shocked, Doug Lease, if in fact James Jones and the Phoenix Suns were not talking to Chris Paul before the end of the season? Would you be shocked? Oh,
yeah.
That they didn't have a rough outline as to what they are going to do, what they were going to do at that point in time. Wouldn't you be absolutely blown away if they didn't have that conversation already? I would be like, what are you doing? At some point in time, of course, I think this is roadwork that has been laid for months in advance, maybe even years. I don't know. But it couldn't be years because he was only here, 10 months already? Hasn't even been a year. That just blows my mind. Think about that right there. The transformation of the Phoenix Suns in the basketball universe is staggering.
The transformation of a human being in 18 months is also staggering. Houston Rockets' Chris Paul is a blasphemous contract. Why? What in the world are you going to be able to do with that thing? And this guy's going to be so overplayed, play out the string, and then be washed up, and everybody says, you know, whatever happened to that Chris Paul guy? And in 18 months, he saves the Oklahoma City Thunder, he saves the Suns, and now $44 million feels underpaid, and we're looking at a contract. He's even in a position. I mean, just think about this if you think back to when he was a Rocket. How amazing would it have been to come on record, come on the air as a talk show host, as a media member, and say, I think Chris Paul's going to opt out of that $44 million and get more. You know, if you said that in his Houston days, like,
yeah,
what?
That's a little crazy.
And now it's a no-brainer. And you see what he's done the last couple of years, all credit to Chris Paul, the work he's put into his body, the work he's put into being great again. And I do believe there is something in that man that says, I want to do it my way. I think he totally loves being with Monty, and he totally loves having a franchise of players that respect him to the level that he does. I don't think you can underestimate the pain he went through with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
While he rubbed so many people the wrong way, why? Because he wanted to win more than they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it, and I wasn't there. I wasn't in the locker room, but that's how I feel watching some of those teams and watching the careers of some of those players that have left. They didn't like Chris Paul because he wanted to win more than they did, and they weren't willing to sacrifice like him. And now he's got a team that's willing to do that. I think he wants to finish the job.
It's kind of like having an older sibling, right? An older brother. Stop and think about this. If there's separation there, if you've got 5 years of separation between you and your older brother, by way of example, it's never a problem. You typically get along with your older brother. Great. You respect your older brother. If you were born 14 months after your older brother, mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, how many times do we see this in families where there's this sibling rivalry for real? It exists, and you butt heads over it. It's one of the reasons why I think that Chris Paul is such an excellent fit here, because of all the young guys. You're talking about Devin Booker at 24, Mikal Bridges at 24, Cam Johnson at 25. Cam Johnson is the old guy. DeAndre Ayton at 22. I think that fits well. The chemistry is really, really good inside of that locker room because of the love and affection and respect they have for Chris Paul, instead of a sibling rivalry, if you will. I think that's why it works, and that's why this report by Gambo is encouraging.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I asked in the previous beautiful part of the program, if you just tuned in, send us a text on the FanDuel text line at 620-620, and if you put your name on it and it's something that'll make you think, we're going to read it. Frank did that. I think Larry Fitzgerald is waiting for the Green Bay Packers to sign him so he can play with Aaron Rodgers, since Rodgers wants a new receiver.
Yeah.
Listen, you've always used the phrase mercenary, mercenary, mercenary,
yeah,
mercenary.
Right.
I do think there's one franchise that's off limits, and being a guy from Minnesota, I think it's the Packers. I think. I don't know that.
Don't you think, though, that the Packers right now, with that money that is going to be freed up for them, don't you think that they're going to go and sign Devontae Adams? I do.
Maybe Adams wants out after the year, too, if Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Well, what are you going to pay me? What are you going to pay me?
Maybe it's for Randall Cobb, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers has always loved Randall Cobb. Who, I just think, listen, the rule was put your name on it, make us think. Frank, you made me think, but I don't think that's in the cards. I think Fitz is Arizona Cardinals or nowhere. I do believe that's where that's his strongest one, and that's where he wants to stay. Coming up next is the Rush Hour reboot when Aaron Maloney takes over and runs through everything that's just happened the last few hours and overnight as well. And the one huge story is something you've got to hear next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.